Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barber, and with me is Blair Baxter. He came fifth place in our transformation contest. You did a good job, Blair, and yeah, you're one of the more muscular guys we have, that's for sure. So let's just start with, let's just start with how you found us, I guess. Give us the history of how you sort of ended up involved with our stuff and what led you to us. You and I were just talking a little bit about that, so like you had some ideas that the industry was leaving you a little bit with more questions than answers. So I don't know, just wherever you want to start it, lead us into it.
All right, cool. Honestly, I can't even really pinpoint exactly where I found you guys. I can't remember if it was through Eastop Eat, if I was just kind of surfing the web, if I was on Facebook and a little sidebar kind of popped up. I really don't know, but I do remember clicking on the link.
Well, how about when you found Eastop Eat even?
I found Eastop Eat probably through like, I can't remember the exact person, but you get affiliate links and people kind of send you stuff. And I remember seeing a link for Eastop Eat, and then I kind of, started reading Brad's blog a little bit. And then from there, I thought, okay, this is pretty interesting. I can give this a shot. So, I ordered the book. So I got the Eastop Eat book and a lot of information. It just kind of made sense to me because, I was always under the preconceived notion that you couldn't really take your calories so long, that the industry stuff that you had to eat every 3 hours. If you didn't eat, your body would go into starvation mode. So this was just something totally contrary to anything that I had ever heard. Mm. In regards to the whole Eat concept. And so that kind of intrigued me right there because I'm like, okay, this is something different here. Mm-hmm. And so, I kind of read the information and, one of my mentors actually, Alan Cosgrove, and I remember him mentioning some things in regards that they were doing at their gym with intermittent fasting. I'm like, hold up. This is a guy that I trust and that I like. And if he's telling me they're doing some intermittent fasting stuff at his gym, then I need to find out more information. So I really, really became kind of like following Brad's stuff and reading the blogs and things, things like that. So I really believe that's kind of really how I kind of stumbled onto Adonis. But at that time, I don't really know, but I'm pretty sure that's kind of how I stumbled onto Adonis. And then things just kind of took off from there. And then, I found the Adonis site. And then from there, I went to kind of got involved with that. And then I kind of stumbled onto your stuff with the AGD. And then, I went on to purchase that book and I started reading that one. And that one was that was probably really the aha moment and the turning point once I started reading AGD.
All right, we'll talk about that.
Okay. Well, so reading AGD, and what actually happened is that you guys started talking about just the basic stuff like calories in and calories out. Now, I think I knew that, but I didn't know that because I can remember being back in college wanting to lose weight, and the only thing I did, I just ate less. Mm-hmm. And that was before I had any, I had never taken a nutrition course. I had never really read a magazine. I'd never done anything. Just instinctively, I just knew that. I was like, okay, I want to lose some weight. Something's going on here. I'm just going to cut out some meals. And I cut out some meals, and I can remember being silly and doing Tai Bo in my living room because, I didn't have any money, really, and I was too lazy to get up and go to the gym. So besides playing basketball, as I always do, I did Tai Bo in my living room every single night, and I just ate less. Mm-hmm. And I remember losing weight, but for some reason, when I got older, and once I started reading, the different magazines and books and getting quote-unquote educated, I was under the impression that, okay, that doesn't work. I almost forgot about that. And I went to, and I'm sitting here, I'm trying to eat 3 meals a day, I'm trying to eat every few hours, which I can do with my schedule, but even still, I'm like, I'm getting tired of chicken breast, I don't like tuna fish, and the food that I was actually enjoying, I began to not like.
Okay, so hang on a second here. So in university, you actually figured out that eating less and exercising more causes you to lose weight, and you applied it and it worked, and then as you started reading more in the fitness industry, you unlearned that, even though you had proof that it worked, and now you don't think it works.
In a nutshell, I think I totally forgot about it. I honestly forgot about that because it was so long ago. This was about 1998, I think, when that happened. And I think what I kind of messed up at that time is that I wasn't strength training. So even though I lost weight, and Adonis, we're big on the proportions. Mm. And I remember listening to you guys, one of the podcasts, and that shoulder proportion is key. So if I think back and I look at pictures, I realize as I lost weight, even though my waist measurement began to come down, I lost some more shoulder circumference than I should have. So it didn't give you really the appearance of someone that was actually getting into a better shape. People would actually be coming up to me and my girlfriend at that time, and they would say, hey, is everything okay with Blair? It wasn't like, hey, look at Blair, like you're losing some weight. It was more of, is everything okay? So that's when so I always had that in my mind. I was like, I always felt like maybe that type of diet kind of really made me lose, you know, once again, lose a lot of muscle tissue. So now when you're reading all this stuff and it's telling you, you know, eat every few hours, you can save muscle. I was like, yeah, that, it started making sense because I remember doing it, even though I lost weight, the overall picture wasn't how I had predicted myself. And so, you know, you start reading things like with anorexics and things like that. And I guess since I know a little bit more now, and I think that's kind of where all that stuff stems from, because they're not strength training and they just keep losing weight. And even though I lost some weight, I still didn't look in the mirror and felt like I looked the way that I wanted to look. But I did know that I was lighter. So I did know that, okay, I can lose some weight, but something else is going on here. Something's quite not right, because this is not how I wanted to look. But I didn't, you know, I didn't have any eating disorders or anything like that, so I didn't keep going and just keep losing weight and just hoping that miraculously that body would just show up.
Okay, so then afterwards, where do you end up?
Afterwards, where I end up. So let's fast forward to here we are now in 2011. You know, I kind of found the AGD. So with AGD, everything between AGD, E-stop-eat, and any Adonis, it just honestly, it just filled in all the holes that I had. You know, I remember reading that you guys, like, you know, you can, or either you guys or one of the podcasts you guys did with a previous contest, but pretty much you can go as low in calories as you want to go. You know, nobody stay down there too long. So, you know, I would do that. So I would have days where I would kind of go down low. I would have days where, you know, where I would kind of eat a little more, kind of go up high. So I would have never done that in the past, but all that came just from honestly just reading you guys' information and trusting. And I think it was Brad Howard. I remember one time, I think I was listening to something he said, and he's like, just trust us. But it took me a while. It wasn't like I just jumped right in when I found you guys' information. I found you guys in June of this year. And I didn't find information and just jump right in. You know, you kind of got to trade. It didn't take me long. It only took me 2 or 3 weeks. But I'm reading through everything, and I think I started going through, and I started listening through all the podcasts, and I was like, okay, I've heard enough. And at that point, I was like, okay, is it time? Let's just dive in, Blair. Because, I mean, I think I was like a lot of people now because I read so much. And, like, I have my own gym here, and I have my own training studio here in Philly. So I started reading stuff, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm looking at the workouts. I'm like, all right, you know, and I'm like, okay, this looks like it's probably cause a shoulder problem. So, you know, I'm dissecting stuff, and I hadn't even tried it out. And I think somebody else did that. And I remember you posed a question to the person. You was like, well, at what point did the shoulder start hurting? And they were like, well, it hasn't. He was like, well, let me know when it happens. You know, we can talk about it then. And I was like, that's a great point. Here I am predicting stuff on why I don't want to do a workout. We got, I don't know, however many people have already done it, and these guys are all in great shape. Here I am. I'm sitting here. I own my own gym. I'm supposed to be a trainer, and I'm not looking the way that I'm supposed to look, and I'm finding excuses with the workout or why I don't even want to start it. So I just had to get my whole mind shift, and I kind of just blocked that out, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go for it, let's do it, and I just go in it all out, and at the end, we'll just see what happens then. I was like, I think I'm pretty knowledgeable, so I kind of know my body. I was like, if I feel something starting to hurt or something tweak, I'll make some adjustments then. I was like, but until then, I'm just going to do exactly what it says. So I scrapped all my workouts that I had already. I went and scrapped all that stuff, got rid of it, and I said, I'm just going to start I didn't want to start muscle building foundation. I just thought that was too basic. So I kind of started with strength endurance. I kind of started there because I felt like I had a good amount of muscle. It just was hidden. And honestly, it wasn't until the end that I was like, I don't know if you guys saw my original pictures, but it wasn't until the end that I was like, aha, so there it is. And because I had been lifting for years.
Sure. And, it's obvious in your pictures you've got a lot of muscle.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty consistent. You know, I mean, I'm going to the gym, but once I was into the whole thinking that you can bulk, and really what would happen to me is that I would start dieting, and then I would get to a point where I would feel like I was getting too small. And I think it was more mental than anything, but I would look in the mirror, I'd be like, okay, I'm getting too small. And so I would stop, and then I would begin eating again. And then I would look into the mirror one day, and I'm like, I'm fat. And so I would start my diet, and honestly, I think that was all my good years there. You know, your 20s and my early 30s, I just spent in this little trap of just feeling like I was getting too small and then feeling like I was getting too big. And I remember posting on the forum and guys were talking about that, and they were just like, you just got to keep going. It was like, when you feel like you're getting too small, that's when you're almost there. And it didn't make sense to me at the time. I'm tiny. I'm like, what do you mean keep going? I'm like, if I lose anymore, I'm not going to be here. He's like, yeah, keep going. And I can't remember who it was, so I'm like, all right. So I kept going.
It's funny how different we perceive ourselves, because I know while people are listening, they're going to look at your pictures and think, this guy thinks he's small. Like, you're one of our biggest guys. So, and you just said it. You spent a lot of your, and a lot of guys are going to do this. They're going to spend their best, quote, their best years trapped in this worrying to be too small bulking cycle, and they never actually get in the shape they want. Like, was that a struggle for you, the whole permission to be light thing?
The permission to light thing would be huge. I can remember I dated a girl in 2000, I want to say 2004, 2005, and I remember her telling me, she said, you should get down to about 198. She said, I think it'd be nice. Now, at this time, I'm probably 250. I'm like, yeah, right, 198. I'm laughing at her. And she just stood by that. She's like, I never did it at that time. This is the closest I've been to 198. I graduated high school in 1991. I was 195 pounds at that time. So naturally, you see pictures of yourself, but I had never touched a weight before. But you're not thinking that. You just see a picture of yourself, you're like, I don't want to look like that. Mm-hmm. And so now I understand the difference. There is a difference between growing into a weight as a boy and then being a man and you're dieting down and working out and coming down to a weight. And I'm like, it's totally different. It's not the same. You know, just kind of building up. You haven't even really filled out yet. You just kind of stumbled into that weight. You know, I just stumbled into 195 as just, you know, being a 17-year-old kid. Actually, I graduated high school at 16, so I'm sorry. Being 16 years old. So you just kind of stumbled into that weight. But now I've kind of been at this weight for a while. You've worked out, you've kind of developed, you've kind of done some things. So now I'm actually coming down to a weight. And what I'm noticing that you don't even look closely the same. Like, I mean, I have pictures, you know, where I was at the same weight that I am now, but I might've been 20 years old, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old. And it's not even close, you know, in terms of how you look. But I think a lot of guys with that whole permission to be light, and, you know, you got to kind of explain it to them that way, because they have pictures of themselves at that weight, but they weren't doing the same things at that weight. And usually that was the weight that they came up to. It wasn't really a weight that they dieted down to and worked out down to get down to that weight, if that makes sense. So that was kind of...
And that's the first time anyone said it that way. You're right. It's. I think the bodybuilding culture calls it muscle maturity. I don't think that's a very good descriptor, but in general, I think it gets the point across that you might end up at the same weight that you were in high school, but you're way more muscled and you'll be way leaner, and it'll be that. It'll be like what your former girlfriend was trying to say. It's like 198, you'll look good now, not the way you looked when you were a kid. And I don't think young guys versus older guys now probably get it, but young guys won't understand that, because obviously they can't do it yet, right? And it's just somebody, like, I'm just 20 more years trained than I was when I was 17. So even if I'm the same weight, there's way more muscle and way less fat. It's just, what can you do?
Exactly.
20 years of training, you can't replace it any, there's just no way of replacing it.
No, that's like 20 years of training clients versus a new guy that just comes on board. You know, mm-hmm. I'm sure you get new people coming to your system all the time. They want to tell you that, hey, this is not going to work. And you're like, okay, I've been doing this for how long? And you just getting started. And I have this many before and have the pictures. How many you have? But they don't have any, but they'll just still tell you that, this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a thing who and me. So let's, I don't really know what I was, but let's just kind of pick up anyway from somewhere. All right. So with the whole Adonis and the whole AGD theory, just that permission to be light, I think that was probably really, that was huge for me. Just reading that and just talking to the different guys and seeing really how light that they came in. And so now at that point, 198 didn't really seem that bad. Cause I have a guy actually that works with me at my studio, and he's my height. So I'm 6'3", for that. And, he's a little bit younger than me, but he's about 185, but he's ripped. Mm-hmm. You know, his shoulders are probably a little bit smaller than they should be. You think he's probably only measuring about a 50 on the shoulders, but it looks good though. Like, either so, and he's ripped so, but he's about 185. So I'm thinking like, all right. And I'm at this time, I'm sitting at, and I think I might have topped off sometime, even the earlier part of 2011, maybe the end of 2010, I might have topped off at around like 266, might have been like my top weight. And he's telling, wow, I was right. And it wasn't, you know, when I started with you guys, it was right after Memorial Day, so at the beginning of June, but I was still sitting at 256 and a half. So I had just missed the previous contest.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know anything about that. You know, I kind of saw guys on the contest. I was like, I'll catch him on the next one when the next contest rolls around. I was like, I need to get started now. I'm not going to wait and stay fat and then get started then. So it was actually kind of cool because, you know, I kind of got started in the summer, and And it was interesting because the more you guys stuff I read, I think the more I just started kind of acting up when I went out. And I tell you what I mean. Like, I think I had a barbecue literally every, not think, I had a barbecue literally every single weekend from Memorial Day to Labor Day. At least one. So it was at least one big eating event. So some weekends I would have a barbecue and I would have a wedding. I think I went to about 3 weddings over the summer. Some weekends it was 2 barbecues. The weekend of July 4th was an extended weekend. I think I went to all-you-can-eat taco night that Friday. I had a barbecue Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So I had a lot of events. So, but I just remember reading that it's never what you do socially to lose weight. It's what you do by yourself. So my whole goal was that I got to get a handle on calories when I'm alone. If I can do that, Blair, then you're fine. Don't worry about what you do while you're out. Just get a handle on those calories by yourself. So I just made sure. I mean, I would have days that, you know, if I knew I had something coming out like a weekend like that, like for the July 4th weekend, I was like, I'm eating nothing the 2 days before. I'm just drinking water. And, I mean, it was tough. Don't get me wrong. Like, it wasn't easy to do. But I knew that there was no way I was going to be able to go to those events and eat. So what was ended up happening is that my friends, they were seeing me losing weight. So people knew I was losing weight. But nobody really knew what was going on because when they saw me out, I think I did it on purpose, I think. I would eat more food than anybody there. But I'm still losing weight and nobody else is losing weight. So naturally, you know, people, you know, at that point, people start coming up to you. They're like, okay, look what's going on here, man. I'm watching you eat, but you're losing weight and I'm not losing weight. And so then he's like, you sure you really want to talk about this? That's like, yeah, I want to talk about this. So then I would just literally just tell him, you know, kind of eat less throughout the week. And some people would be receptive of the eat less throughout the week and just kind of, you know, kind of space bank up your calories for that weekend. But a lot of people weren't receptive to that because they were like I was before. They had read, you know, you got to eat every few hours. You know, you got to get protein with each meal. You got to do this. And so they weren't really receptive to that, you know. And I was like, you know, some days I may not eat at all. I may fast or it may be like a really light 500 calorie day. And some people were like, no way I can do that without even trying it, without even thinking about it, just instantaneously. I think people were, They're so kind of strung out on food and just the idea of just eating all the time that anything that says that you shouldn't eat, it's almost like, I don't know, I guess it's almost like a curse or something.
And it's almost like you've told them to hold their breath for a day or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So people don't want to hear, even when I talk to people now, like they can see my pictures and they come up to me and they're like, that can't, you know, just like you said, they can't be healthy. That can't be right, you know. I mean, even during my cut down, you know, I mean, when people were watching me and stuff like that, you know, I mean, you know, I would have friends and guys come up to me, they're like, yeah, but you're going to lose muscle. I said, all right, well, I said, well, at the end, I'll show you my before and after pictures. You show me yours. I said, we'll take a look there. I said, you could be right. I said, but I'm going to keep going, and you keep doing what you're doing, and we'll see at the end. Of course, he quit. You know, I mean, most
right.
guys,
yeah,
that
right.
they never dieted down. I'm like, well, what happened? You know, I got lean. I'm like, what happened? Well, you know, I like to eat. And so I like to eat, too. it's not about me not liking to eat. I like to eat. I mean, if it's anybody, I like to eat. You know, but people just, no, people kind of had their own thing that they kind of wanted to do, and they don't really want to eat less. They think they can. I think people really think that they can just eat whatever they want and work out. I don't really know where that started, but I hear people say that a lot. You know, I work out so I can eat what I want. But when you look at their bodies, it's not like they have a good body. And my response to that is always say a person that can eat whatever they want and work out is already in shape. Yeah. So when you see people, like, and we all know somebody that's already in shape that works out and they can pretty much eat whatever they want. I'm like, they're already in shape. I'm like, a person trying to get in shape cannot eat whatever they want and then also get in shape. Because if you could do that, you would already be in shape.
Right.
And then a lot of times that kind of hits home with people. And they're like, yeah, I think you're right about that one. So.
Yeah. And they're rare. There's a few. Everybody knows like one of them. And normally, if you actually watch what they eat on a daily basis, they actually don't overeat. They just, like, they're those people who just stop when they need to stop. I mean, we all know someone who, like, if you and me and one of them sit down at the table, I'm definitely going beyond what I need. But there's always that one guy who just stops, and he's like, literally, he'll just leave half the food on the table because he can't put any more in. And that's the guy who just seems to always be right around the, you know, the body fat percentage he needs to be, sort of thing. But I'm not like that, and it sounds like you're not like that either. If the food's on the table, I'm eating it. So it
I'm eating his food that he left.
Oh, yeah, me too. Like, I'm taking it off his plate before he even finishes.
As soon as you start saying, man, I'm getting a little full. So you ain't gonna need the rest of that. So I'm eating his calories.
Right, so and then you and me are just fighting over it.
Yeah, so pretty much like I literally had to count calories. Mm-hmm. You know, people argue about counting calories and not counting calories. And I always tell people, I say, listen, if you've ever had a problem with weight, then you've already shown you can't be trusted around food and you need to count calories. Like, it's not even optional. If you don't have to count calories, that means you've never had a problem with weight. So forget that. So, because people will argue back and forth, you don't have to count calories, you know, just do this and do that. I'm like, nobody's going to eat chicken and broccoli the rest of their life. I'm like, everybody knows you can kind of do that and it's very hard to overeat and you can probably lose some weight. I'm like, but nobody's going to do that if that has a problem with weight. People that just eat chicken and broccoli, they don't generally have a problem with weight. So, you need some realistic strategies. And if you're going to eat some pizza, you're going to want some cookies, you're going to want some bread, and you need to count some calories. And so once I started counting calories, I actually downloaded an application to my phone. And I counted calories religiously, and I still do it now. You know, like, I just got back from South Beach. And, I mean, I counted calories down there. It wasn't pretty, but, I mean, I still did it. Mm-hmm. Because I want to know, I just got home yesterday. I want to know when I get back home, like, okay, how much damage did I do? And let's just see how long is it going to take me, you know, to kind of get back to neutral and then kind of take it from there. So today is already a fasting day. So I've already, kind of already banked that in. Like, I'm probably going to need 2 to 3 fasting days this week. I'll probably fast today, eat lightly tomorrow, and again on Friday. I got to start paying that back right away. And I did tread water lightly going down to vacation, knowing, you know, everything that I know now. So just being able to piece everything together and knowing that, okay, you're going to be eating a lot and let's just eat a little bit less here and then you can kind of eat there and get yourself an interest. You know, do it again, eat a little bit less at the end, just in case there's any spillage, just to kind of play it safe. And, like, just putting everything together, you know, like I probably can ramble on indefinitely just about the information I kind of learned from you guys and how you guys kind of changed my life and people close to me, how you changed their life. So I start talking too much, you know, just, I don't know, press the button like on the Gong Show or something.
Yeah, no, but it just sounds like you're treating it, and Pilon uses this analogy a lot, you're treating your body fat like a bank account. And you went to South Beach and you knew you were going to charge up your credit card and now you're paying it off.
There you go. Yeah. And this is probably the first time in a long time in years that I was actually at the beach and I felt good. You know, like I almost got to the point, I almost wondered why I brought any shirts with me. Because I was like, you know, so ordinarily, I might have on a tank top because I always had pretty nice arms. Even when I had some stomach, always had some nice arms. So, you know, so, man, that's what most guys, you just emphasize what you have.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So you just put on the shirt with no sleeves and you look good. You know, people look at you because you got big arms and you look like you work out. But, you know, like your guys say, shirt on big. But and I always look like that because I can look at pictures of myself in the beginning with the shirt on and no sleeves versus no shirt on. A shirt with sleeves, you could look at me and you could tell I worked out. But without a shirt on totally, it just looked like I didn't work out. And you know, when I was sitting at 256 now, and I think I was kind of mind blown, you know, just looking at those pictures. Like, I knew I had some weight on me. I just didn't realize it was that much until the end. I was like, wow. And so now my whole mindset has shifted. So now I'm sitting, you know, I don't know where I'm at now, but before I left, I was at about 208, 207. Mm. So now I'm like, now 198 doesn't really, it's not scary anymore. It's not like, I got to get down to 198. Now I'm like, I probably need to get down to 198 just to get as ripped as I want to get. So now it's like, I'm like, man, if I listened to her 7 years ago, I'm like, I could have been there already, but, you know.
Well, you got to figure it out on your own, right? I guess is the tougher part of this story. Is everyone can say till they're blue in the face. Even with our stuff, you like you said, it took you a few weeks to actually buy into it before you're like, are these guys BSing me?
I bought into the diet before I bought into the workouts. I was still examining the workouts because that was the trainer in me. So I was still the diet part, like that made sense from the beginning. I was like, eat less, blah, blah, okay.
All right, we'll talk about the workout part.
Okay,
this is my workouts being critically evaluated by another trainer. So talk about
that. Yeah. So the initial stages was that just kind of reading it. You know, like, I hate high reps. Let's just establish that right now. Like, I hate high reps. So here we
everybody,
are. You know, we got high reps. You know, 21 reps, and I'm looking at it like, you know, 4 days a week or whatever. Then you got the boosters, and I'm looking. I'm like, you know, so I start adding up the push to pull ratio. The first thing I'm doing, I'm like, all right, how many pushes versus pulls on here? You know, and I'm looking at the single joint versus the multi joint, and all that stuff took time, you know, to try to add up. And so And I'm looking at, all right, maybe I should tweak this, and maybe if I change this and I can do this, and then I can kind of even out those ratios a little bit more, and I can kind of make sure that, you know, that the shoulder health and the hip health, you know, was kind of intact and things like that. And it took me a while, and then, you know, just listen to the podcast and kind of being on the forum, and all the guys are like, just follow the program the way it is, just follow the way it's laid out. And so, you know, and so I went back and I read it again, and I still wanted to change up a bunch of things, but I had to resist that urge, honestly. Like I literally had to fight the urge to want to change a bunch of things. So, and I didn't do it. I just kind of went through and just kind of followed it. Only thing I think I may have changed slightly was the warm up. You know, when you guys warm up, I kind of, you know, like we do, I kind of doing like some slight rotator cuff exercises on the warm up. Little things that I've noticed over the years that kind of like get me a little bit looser, kind of help me feel a little bit better, things like that. So, but as far as the workouts themselves, I just left them as is, and I just kind of dove in. You know, I did basic stuff to get warmed up. You know, a couple push-ups, sometimes a couple body weight squats. I do something that we call squat to stand, Spider-Man. Sure. Yep.
Yeah. The warm-up is, I mean, that's my interpretation of what's the simplest thing to get across to people. But clearly, you're experienced enough to put together whatever warm-up you like. But I'm with you. I don't follow anybody else's program. I would have done the same thing as you did. I would have picked it apart left, right, and center. So, I mean, that's the trainer in you coming out, right? So that's I'm. It must be hard being a trainer to follow somebody else's program, and just follow it like that. I mean, I've gotten over that to some degree, but I have because the one thing I do like, and let me know if you're the same. I like being able to just follow. Without thinking about it. I hate thinking about it. I'd rather, it's really nice to just open the book and be like, so now when I try out other people's programs, I kind of like it. I'm like, what do we do next? I hate having to think through it. It just seems exhausting.
And this is actually the first time that I've actually allowed anybody to do that. Like without literally changing anything. Like now, you know, I've gotten to the next phases and so on and so forth. I don't even think about it anymore. I just, what's next? And I just jump right on it. I just go right into what's next. But any other, like, I mean, like, I've seen a lot of programs, you know what I mean, from a lot of people that I read. I was always changing something up. Mm-hmm. You know, I was always saying, I don't like that. I'm getting rid of that. I'm putting this in there. You know, I was always changing something. Always changing something during that time. But this time I was just like, you know what? These guys, they all did it. And I think that was really the fact that so many people before me had did it. And I looked at how their bodies looked, and then I looked at how they looked at the end. I was like, so it definitely works. I said, at this point, it's either I'm going to work it too. I was like, because with these guys, they can't do anything that I can't do. If they can do it, I can do it too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so, like, I got to do it. I just got to buckle down and do it. So the hardest part, honestly, it wasn't the workout. The workouts actually became fun. The hardest part with the workouts for me was the fact that they moved around so much. I wasn't used to that format. And, you know, kind of had to flip back through the sheets to kind of find out, okay, how much weight did I do last time, and then try and adjust it. And then I was quickly realizing, because that weight was that exercise at a different spot, that it didn't, that weight didn't really correlate the same, because, you know, initially that exercise was first the last time I did it, but now it's not first. Now this exercise is fourth. So I've done a few exercises before that, so I'm not going to be quite as strong. And just kind of, but, you know, I kind of got a handle on that. You know, you weren't off too much, you know, 5-10 pounds most if it was a lower body exercise, you know, 2.5 to 5 pounds in the upper body, because in my gym we can move up to 1.25, so that's pretty cool. So I can kind of move up in really small increments and just put everything together.
I'm glad you said that. A lot of people don't understand that it's not just standard same exercise, same time, same number of reps, first or second or third in the workout pattern. Like you gotta. It's super important what you just said. I don't know if a lot of people notice that. Is like if it's the first exercise or the fourth, and depending what's been exhausted ahead of time.
Yep.
And not even the same muscle groups. So that's obviously the most important. So if you're doing dumbbell press, but it's like it's fourth after two or three other chest exercises. But it also matters if you've done shoulders or even legs or just generally exhausted your body before. Like it's going to change what your rep max is there than if it was first exercise, and that's the only way to compare it, first to first or fourth to fourth, right? So you have to look at it that way. So some people are like, well, I think I was weaker. I'm like, no, it's just further in the in the pattern this time.
Yep, and like you said, some of those other muscles kind of get pre-exhausted, especially if you did some triceps, and then, you know, you kind of turned around a couple exercises down and you had another pushing movement with some shoulders or maybe some chest. Like you're not going to get as much up as if you did chest in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, I kind of picked that up once I saw the exit. As soon as I kind of looked at it, I kind of knew, okay. And so, but I would still look back to see what I did, and then based on where it was, I would just kind of adjust it. And I'm like, hey, I got, you know, 3, 4, 5 sets anyway. If I pick it up on the first set and it's too light, I'll just bump it up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, that part wasn't rocket science. It's the hardest part with me, honestly, was just really just getting started on those workouts. Because actually, I was going to, my initial plan, I was just going to take ADD and eat, stop eating, just do my own workout. And just, like, I'm just going to do my own workout. I like this eating stuff here, but I think I got a handle on the workout part. But then I was like, hey, everybody else did the workouts. Like, why am I not doing the workouts? And those few weeks, like, I really battled back and forth on, do I want to do these workouts or don't I want to do the workouts? So I'm looking through them all to kind of decide where to start. I looked at Muscle Building Foundation. I looked at the other ones. Then I finally was like, all right, let's just start here. And then once I kind of started there and I kind of get started, I was like, this is actually pretty cool. The work, I mean, like just moving it around all the time actually kind of kept my interest. I've never worked out that consistently that long on one particular program. Usually I get workout ADD, I call it. You know, like I can be working out and I can say, you know what, I want to get in shape, I want to look good, and I'm working out for that. And then I start reading some Pavel stuff, and those guys are doing kettlebells. I'm like, I need to be doing that. And then I'm reading, I don't know, it could be Eric Cressy and some other guys, and these guys are doing powerlifting. I'm like, I need to be doing that. And I'm all over, you know, so I just keep jumping around. I'm program hopping. I'm doing stuff. And naturally, where you end up, you just end up fat. You know, like, you don't get anywhere. You don't get strong. You don't get powerlifting strong because you weren't doing it long enough. You know, you don't get super great with the kettlebells because you weren't doing that long enough. You don't look good for the beach because you didn't focus on that long enough. You just kind of going figure eights. You know, you just kind of, like, you just keep ending up right at the same point, and you didn't really make any progress. So once, you know, I kind of got with you guys, and I just kind of just shifted my mindset, my focus, and I just kept pushing forward. And then, you know, I kind of really, really started seeing my body change. And then while I was seeing my body change, then it started getting exciting because you were actually physically able to start seeing some results, and other people were actually coming up to you, and, you know, and they knew you were doing something. And now, it just all kind of changed from there. So now I feel like a rock star when I go out now.
Right, with no shirt on.
Yeah, we're no shirt off.
I like what you just said about program hopping and doing figure eights. And like you said, I'll bet you most people get the ADD kicks in just fast enough that they're not on it long enough to get the real results. So it's almost as if you've set yourself up to prove to yourself that no program can work. Because if you only powerlift for 4 to 6 weeks, all you're going to get is a lot of pain and heartache and none of the real gain. If you do Olympic lifting for that length of time, you'll barely even figure out how the lifts work. You'll never get anywhere. I mean, you got to be on it for, you know, half a year, a year, just to get the lifts down and then really start to see improvement. And then if you're going to do our stuff, I mean, 3 or 4 weeks, that's not enough either. You got to be on it. You got to commit, right? Like 3, 4 months at least to really start seeing things change. And I bet you almost nobody commits for 3 or 4 months. So, like, you can – and then everyone's like, yeah, I powerlifted, whatever, and I did that, and kettlebell, whatever. Like, you just – I could see how that act, like the figure eights or the program hopping, not only do you dabble with them, you mess around with them just long enough to convince yourself none of them work.
I mean, that's probably the best way to put it. You know, if I can put it any better. And I think I finished my story. Did I finish my story on kind of how I went through the whole thing? I know we kind of went all over the place.
You said MBF looked too basic for you, and you finally
I looked at MBF
3.0.
I did 3.0. Yeah, I looked at MBF as like for people that never really worked out and to kind of get that foundation down. I'm like, I know how to squat. I knew all the basic moves. So I didn't think I needed to go back and just do a whole bunch of volume with the basic moves, you know. And, like, that was another thing that I did, like once again, listen to the body. Like, I think some guys ended up doing a booster or some other stuff. I think I ended up cutting a set off of most things just because my body just, like, I don't need a lot of volume. Like, I learned that early on. Like, most programs, if it says 3 sets, I'm doing 2. Like, if I start doing 3, the next day, I'm not moving too good. And, you know, like, I want to know that I worked out, but I don't want to work out so much I know it's not supposed to just hurt and affect my day-to-day function. If it's affecting my day-to-day function and I'm not recovering good, you know, that's the first thing we always do at my gym is we reduce volume. So once I kind of cut it down to 2 sets, then I, you know, and I was recovering, I was feeling good and I'm still making progress, there's no need for me to add a third set or most of the stuff. So some of the exercises that were 5 sets, I would just do 4 So that, you know, and that was me. You know, that may work for some people. It may not work for some people. So I understand that, you know, and you, I think you even said it too somewhere, that the workout is kind of like your guide and just that paper. And you kind of got to make some decisions on your own because you're not physically there with us on, hey, is this enough or it's not enough? You know, if it's not enough, then, hey, we got the boosters that you can add on. If it's enough, then stay with that. And if it's too much, you know, you kind of make some adjustments that way. So for me, it was honestly, like, I never did any boosters. It just, that, like, I tried that my first couple of weeks, and instantly I started feeling, like, a little tweak in my elbow and a little tweak in my knees. So that's too much. Like, so it literally, like, after 2 weeks, I was already feeling it. I cut it out, and I wasn't feeling it, but I still didn't feel like I was recovering fully. So I was like, all right, we're going to cut a little bit more. Let's cut down the set. Cut down the set. I was good. So I just literally, I kept it at 4 days a week, and I reduced the set just for the volume, you know, just because it was just too much volume for me, and I just kind of went through the workouts from there. And even now, like, I just, now, just whatever it is now, just cut down the set. And if I still feel good, then I might add one in later on, but I haven't really had to.
Yeah, well, and the way I designed them, I tested them out on people who were experienced advanced trainers who had been training for years. So the volume that's built in there is works best, I guess, or at least it was designed and tested on, well, like myself and then other people like myself. So if it's, I mean, I'm assuming when I have that stuff that's written there is assuming you know how to push real hard. And it's mm-hmm. assuming you can generate serious force. And I designed these workouts. I was already an advanced lifter with significant amount of muscle when I designed them. So like you said, I'm looking at you, and just based on your history, I'm assuming you know how to push all out and you can recruit a lot of muscle and all of that stuff. So it makes sense that someone like you might not even need all that, what's written there. Whereas someone who's less advanced, they just can't, every set, the quality of the set is different, right? So like the full workout for someone who's less advanced might actually not be enough because they're not advanced enough in their ability to push. And it doesn't mean that they're not, now, it doesn't mean that they're not pushing hard enough or as hard as they can. It just means it'll be years before they actually need to go the reverse and get to your level where they actually come down a little bit. So
was it, that, was it like the ability different. To recruit muscle fibers? Like, didn't that change or something like that?
Yeah, I would think so.
As you get better, yeah.
Yeah, as you get better, I would imagine your mind-muscle connection's better and your just ability to, like, get the most out of a set is just better. You know what I mean? Like, when you're younger, it's weird because when you're younger, you can also be a bit of a goon and just push through injury and stuff. But when you're older, you have to be a little smarter with that. So, like, all factors considered, I don't know how else to say it, the quality of the set's different for someone who's more experienced versus someone who's younger.
And then the key also when you get older, and that's the thing that I have with the young guy that works with me, because I think he's about 27. Yeah. And I look at him sometimes, you know, we're working out in his form. I'm like, oh, that's going to catch up with you, buddy. I'm like, you don't get it together now. I'm like, it's going to catch up with you. Because, you know, at that point, he's about lifting a lot. He just wants to lift a lot of weight. And, yeah. You know, it can get ugly, you know, sometimes some of those sets. And, like, I'm cosmetic at this point. You know, any strength that comes with it is a bonus. And, you know, I think I'm pretty strong, but, like, that's not my goal, just to get as strong as I can get. I just want to look good. How good can I look? You know, people invite me to come running and come do something. I don't want to run. What am I running for? They're like, well, you know, they didn't come join our running group. I'm like, no. I'm like, that's not gonna. No, I just want to. These muscles are cosmetic. I'm like, this is to look good. I don't want to run. I don't work out. Honestly, I don't enjoy working out. I might be, you know, and you most people think I do because that's what I do for a living. I'm like, no, I don't like working out. I work out because I like the results. Yeah. You know, I like how it makes me feel. I like how it makes me look. I'm like, but I mean. If I didn't have to work out, I probably wouldn't be working out on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's probably what I struggle with the most and why I was program hopping so much, because the workouts that I was doing, I didn't enjoy them. So if you don't enjoy something, actually, it's hard to really stick to something that you're not enjoying doing. So you always want to keep changing. And then once you change it, you know, those first few weeks, it's new and it's exciting. And you're like, this is awesome. I like it. And I think Brad said that somewhere before, P-Line. He said, don't talk to me about a workout you don't even doing for a month. Talk to me in 6 months. And if you still like the workout after 6 months, then let me know, you know, maybe that's something I want to check out. But don't tell me that, hey, you should try this new workout that I just started. You know, so I kind of, you know, like, so I've been with you guys since June and just kind of going straight through, been through the workouts, the rage workouts, like that. And I'm still going and, you know, and it still has my interest. And I've never been able to stick to a program that long and is able to actually keep my interest. For that period of time. So, I mean, you know, hats off to you guys, man. I mean, you guys, like, you totally just changed my life. and like I said, anybody in my surrounding environment, I mean, as a direct result of my life being changed, you know, their life has been changed too, just from simple stuff like eat less. I mean, it's as simple as that sounds. And I think even when people ask me now and I say I just ate a little less, I think they look at me and they think I'm being smart. And they're like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, I'm like, okay. They're like, I'm like, just eat a little bit less. I get cursed out when I say that to somebody. You know, just eat a little bit less.
Oh, yeah, because they think you're insulting their intelligence or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they get very upset with me. You know, and so you have to, I realize, like, I almost have to explain and then say eat less. Because it's like, and it's so short now, it's like, if somebody's like, hey, you know, I need to lose a few pounds, you know, can you help me? I'm like, sure, just eat a little less.
Yeah,
you know,
I said that once to when I was coaching a girls' hockey team here. I was the strength and conditioning coach. And one of the girls, there's a group of us in the gym doing some conditioning training. And one of the girls was a first-year student, and she, you know, was putting on a little bit of weight from the freedom of university and eating like pizza and subs every night and going out and drinking and stuff. And go figure, this is a varsity athlete. And then she's like, well, how do I lose this? Like, she was pinching like her muffin top. She's like, how do I get rid of this? And I'm like, just stop eating as much, like eat less. And then all the girls looked at me like I had two heads and like I was being completely insulting. And I'm like, I'm giving you the simplest, fastest answer instead. And then they just dismissed me as not knowing what I'm doing. Are you kidding me? And then and I'm like, okay, so this first-year undergrad girl who's gaining weight is going to just – okay, so clearly she knows better than me while she's gaining weight. Like, obviously I don't know what I'm talking about. And the moral of the story is you can't deliver the message that way, right, because they just think you're making fun of them or something. But that's the actual – that's the actual answer, right? Like anyone who's been through it, like, you know, all of our transformation members, everybody in the community, if they were all in the gym with me, they'd be like, yeah, that's about it. And then, you know, they would accept it, but the person I said it to who hasn't tried it yet wouldn't accept it. And then, you know, they just dismissed it as it couldn't possibly be right and it must be something more complex than that. And it's unfortunate that I would imagine someone like her is going to take years to come all the way around and have to go read all the other stuff and fail on a bunch of other diets to come all the way around and be like, you know, that I remember a trainer, you know, and then like 10 years from now, she'll be, if she ever finally loses weight, she'll probably be thinking back, I could have sworn a trainer told me this once to eat less.
Yeah.
You know,
I was in Texas in October, and I asked my 6-year-old niece, I said, listen, I said, you know what I mean? I said, how do you think you lose weight? I said, what do you do? I said, you got a person that eats all the time, they want to lose some weight. You know, what would you tell them to do? And she said, tell them don't eat so much. She's 6.
Yep. Yeah.
she's like, Uncle Blair, just tell them don't eat so much. I'm like, okay. And I knew that. I just wanted to see what she was going to say. So I took her to her parents. I'm like, how do you lose weight? She's like, don't eat as much. And then I left the room.
I wonder if we could do a study to find out at what age we lose the ability to rationally think that it's just eating less.
As soon as you start reading and you start watching TV on, and you can comprehend all that weight loss stuff that they're showing you on TV, because like there's no money in eating less.
No.
You know, so since there's no money in it, they got to keep that as quiet as possible. You know, like I mean, I almost felt like I got a raise when I started eating less. I was, you know, because I'm looking, I couldn't figure it out at first. It didn't dawn on me. I'm looking at my bank account. Where's all this extra money coming from? But it just literally because I wasn't chopping as much. I wasn't buying as much food. I had some fast days, and on the days that I wasn't fast and I wasn't eating as much food, so naturally, I just had more money in my bank account. And like, it was a significant amount. I didn't realize how much I was spending on food. Until I got a handle on calories and I started cutting things down, I was I was a card note. Like food for me was a card note, you know, and not a little cheap card. You know, I could have got a nice car for the amount of food that I was, you know, the amount of money I was spending on food each month. And so just significantly cutting that down, you know, just made, you know, the small price that you guys charge for the program, that just made, like, it was like, you know, yeah. And all the other little additives, you know, when people are like, well, I can't afford that. Like, I'm like, you're gonna make that back just with a couple fasts, you know, throughout the couple of weeks.
That's almost another indication that you're actually on the path to losing some body fat and losing weight. You should actually end up with more money. And if you don't, then you're doing something wrong. Like, no diet that works should possibly actually cost you more money. Like, it, by
they'll make it happen.
The only way it could possibly work is if you also save money at the same time, because you have to consume less. It's not about taking in fancy diet foods and like changing the composition, going organic, and like, it's not about increasing the amount of money you spend on food. It's almost all, the only way it could possibly work is if you end up with a smaller food bill. I just want to get back to another point you brought up, though, the idea of staying on the workout because it was variety, you know, kept your interest. I had somebody ask me, like, the method to why, like, the workout, like, for instance, IXP, the new one, just, it looks totally different than the last one, and in ATS, they all just change, and they're like, why, and it's the reason why, it's partly the reason why 3.0 looks the way it looks, and why MBF is kind of more basic looking, and one of the reasons is what you just said. Half of it is the physiological, like, reasons why we do multiple sets and why we change and go different angles and all that stuff, right? And workout structure and timing and rest and all that. You know, the rules of working out, like frequency, rest, and intensity. But then the other half is this going to keep someone's attention long enough to keep them on the workout long, like anything longer than 4 weeks before they start program hopping? And so every time I build a workout, it's also partly why it takes me forever to get another workout out, and I'm not just producing them every month. I'm trying to produce stuff that I know at least it's my best shot at keeping people's interest. So that's why it's periodized the way it is. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to keep everyone's interest.
I got you. Three months is a heck of a commitment. I don't think people realize that. Most people have never committed anything for 3 months working out live.
No.
You know, so, and to be able to keep your interest on the workout and a diet for 3 months, you know, that I mean, sucks. Even doing that contest, I think the first 3 months for me doing it, I mean, it wasn't the contest for me, but up until my birthday, like, I was smooth sailing. Once my birthday kind of came around, my birthday was September 26th, I kind of, you know, I had been dieting strong from the beginning of June. You know, I started June 4th. So I went straight through June 4th, September. By September 26th, I kind of hit a little wall there. You know, so I kind of passed the 12 weeks, but I kind of hit a little wall there. I was like, mentally, I was like, I just need a diet break. You know, so I had to take a couple weeks off. You know, now I look back, I'm like, man, if I wouldn't have took those weeks off, I could have went further ahead. Maybe I could have placed a little bit higher. So, you know, you kind of kick yourself at the end, but then I got to go back and I got to look at my pictures. I'm like, but hold up, I also started in June when these guys didn't really start until August. So
yeah, so there's these pictures that we have for the contest are only telling a fraction of your whole story. So what's the whole story from when you started, not the contest itself, but when you started, all the way to the end?
I started in June June 4th is actually when I started, right after Memorial Day, started, and I was actually 256 and a half. So when I kind of started there, and that's where I started with 3.0, and I just kind of worked my way down. And during that time, I did about 1,500 to 1,800 calories a day, you know. And, you know, I was throwing some fast days, but when I threw in some fast days, it was just because I needed more calories for another day. But it still averaged out to 1,500 to 1,800 a day. Even if I threw fast days, it just means that I was eating 3,000 on the weekend because I took those calories from that day and just kind of tagged them on. And my weekends were, I definitely ate a lot more on the weekends because those were my social times. And so those were the times when I'd be around people. And then when I wasn't around people, when I was by myself, you know, I would eat a little less. And a buddy of mine, we actually did it together. You know, he actually placed third in the Open, Herman Douglas. I think he interviewed him today. So that's actually one of my fraternity brothers. So we were actually just in South Beach together too. So, you know, I kind of put him onto the program. You know what I'm saying? He emails me and messages me all the time how I changed his life. I'm like, I didn't change it. I mean, all I did was I just shared some information with you and you were receptive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I kind of started there. And then I think by my birthday, honestly, I think I was already down to about maybe 220. Mm. By September. I think I was already down about 220. So I had already lost a significant amount of weight. And I'm feeling pretty good, you know.
So your total weight loss from June is what, like 60
It's almost
pounds?
50 pounds. It's like 49 pounds.
Right,
then I'm kind of sitting there. So it looks, you know, I mean, I think I sent you guys that picture, but I'll send them to you. If I didn't, I'll send you all of them that I took. I've been taking pictures for years.
Definitely. I don't remember. There's so many pictures, but yeah, you got anything from when you're 256?
Oh yeah. I took pictures right at the very beginning. Right when I started June 4th, I took pictures. I was like, all right, this is it. I'm getting ready to get started on this diet stuff. So I took all my pictures, my front size, all that good stuff there. Yep, I did all that right at that time because, like, I knew this was it. I was like, this is it. You know what I mean? This makes sense here. just eat a little bit less. It doesn't matter what you eat, because I had a hard time, like I say, just eating chicken and broccoli, eating fish, and telling me I had to eat every 3 hours. But now it's like, okay, what you guys are like, doesn't matter what you eat, doesn't matter what time you eat, just figure out a way to eat less of it. I was like, I can do that. I can do that.
So would you say you were truly to the words, to the letters that they're written, you just did ESEAGD and that's it?
That was it. Mm-hmm. If you saw my diet, like anybody that saw my diet, first of all, because people have a preconceived notion of how you should eat if you're in fitness, because people already have foods labeled as healthy and unhealthy. So, but like we use an application called MyFitnessPal. At my gym, and so, and we have our diaries open, which means that my clients can see my journal and I can see their journal. So they knew what I was doing, and they could see what I was eating. So I wasn't trying to lie to them to make them think that I'm a robot and that I'm eating certain foods. So they would literally look and they would see that, okay, he had some pizza last night. He's like, I didn't hide it. You know, they could literally see everything that I was eating and everything they were eating. And the gym, like, it's just a judgment-free zone. I'm like, I don't care what you eat. Like, once I kind of figured it out, like everybody now they all know too, because I taught them, hey, just eat less. And so literally, like we just kind of looked through the journals and they looked at my journal. So that kind of kept me on track too, because they saw me slipping, you know, they would say something to me. They're like, all right, make sure you make that up. I was like, all right, I got a plan. It's going to be made up on this day here. So it was, you know, it was kind of cool. You know what I mean? I kind of had like, you know, it's like we got our own little bubble, our own little support system. I'm kind of like the president and whatever I say goes. And, you know, once I kind of tell them, it's like, all right, cool, here's what we do. And, but what was interesting, because I just think back all the years that I wasted sometimes. I'm like, you know, trying to get people to eat four or five meals a day every few hours and how many people I let down because they couldn't do it. Those that were able to do it, like, I know that works. I'm not going to say, but it only works because they're eating less. So I understand that now, but, you know, it was kind of curbing appetite. But there were so many people that I've come in contact with that had a hard time doing that they would lose some weight, but they didn't lose nearly the amount of weight that they could have lost just being able to still enjoy a lot of their favorite foods, but just eating less of those things without really having to struggle, you know, with the whole eating less thing and I'm sorry, with the whole eating five meals a day thing or the whole eating breakfast, you know, within the first hour of waking up. I mean, it was so many rules that, you know, over the years, that, you know what I mean, that I was trying to follow and I had people trying to follow. And where I knew that I wasn't being told something when I was watching The Biggest Loser. And I couldn't figure it out. But I remember me and Herman, the guy that told you was in the open, but we used to always talk about it. I was like, yo, it's something they're not telling us. Because I'm watching how fast these people are losing weight. And I remember one time there was a guy on there and he was about 350 pounds. And they don't usually talk about calories on that show. But I noticed in this particular show, I remember the girl said something to me. She's like, well, you know, you're at 1800 calories a day. So instantly my computer brain starts working. I'm like, well, this guy's 350. He's only eating 1,800 a day, and he's losing weight. I'm like, my calculations, the things people are telling me, I'm supposed to be eating like 2,600. I'm like, and I'm only around 250. I'm like, something's not right there. But I still didn't know exactly what it was. But I knew it was something missing, and it was something I wasn't being told, because these guys, they're working out anywhere from 4 to 8 hours a day, and he's eating 1,800 calories, and he's not dropping dead. You know, nothing's happening to him, And here I am, I'm trying to eat 2,500, 2,600, and I'm only working out for an hour, 3-4 days a week, you know, but we're looking for those same type of results. Mm-hmm. And so with you guys, like I said, once I kind of was introduced to you guys, and it was like, you know, it doesn't really matter how low you go, you can go as low as you want. And the Adonis University, when you guys talked about the red line and that slide you guys had in the red line, that did it there. Like, I printed out slide. Like, I got that, you know, I use that slide all the time. Like that slide there is the greatest slide of all slides.
Okay, so, all right, so we let's explain it a little bit. The red line is, oh man, how do we even, okay, so the idea is you gotta eat below, it's not eating less than what you used to eat, it's eating less than how much you're burning. And that's the thing, like, everyone misses. So when they say, when you hear something said about, well, eat 500 calories less per day to create a pound of weight loss, that's 500 calories less than you're burning, not 500 less than you're eating. So if you eat 1,000 extra calories a day you don't need, eating 500 less of what you're regularly eating just means you're going to gain weight slower. You actually need to eat 500 less than you're burning. And, like, people miss that completely. They don't they don't put that together, and then they're like, well, I ate less and it didn't work. It's like, no, like, not less than what you were eating to gain weight, less than what you need to maintain. So I think that trips people up.
Well, even when you start eating less initially, because I went through this for years, you lost some weight. You know, but now, knowing what I know now, I just lost weight because I had less food in my stomach and my body was holding less water. But I was still eating above the red line, and then I would plateau really quickly, and then, you know, you talk to people and everybody like, you gotta eat more. You know, and I'm like, at that time, you thought it made sense because, you know, they tell you your metabolism slowing down. You're like, yep, that's probably what's happening. You know, I'm not losing any weight. I can see that happening. So you begin to eat more, and it was a vicious cycle. And because I never knew that, okay, you got to get below this line. It's not just about eating less. I just would eat less from wherever I was initially. And that's like when people drop carbs. Initially, they see some weight loss because they're eating less than where they were, but they may not be below that red line. And they always plateau, generally speaking. They always end up plateauing. And then they'll talk to somebody. Somebody's like, well, you got to eat more food. And then they'll eat more food. And they just kind of stay trapped in that cycle. And most people end up just quitting after that because they're like, okay, this diet and fitness stuff is not working, so I might as well just quit. And they kind of throw their arms up and give up.
Yep. And so, well, it seems like madness if that's what you're trying to do, right?
It does. I mean, but if that's all you know, and because there's so many lies that go on in the fitness industry that the truth just it can't be heard because everybody is promoting the same stuff, and no one really knows where they got it from. Like, I don't really know where the first time I heard eat five meals and all that stuff, but I heard it so many times that you just couldn't. It's like there's no way this can be wrong. This has to be right.
Yeah,
Everybody is saying this, so this has to be right. So you just began to repeat it too as well without really even trying anything different. You just said, hey, this is what you have to do. And if a client wasn't getting the results, you know, the way they're supposed to get results, I'm like, you're not following it. You're cheating somewhere. I mean, and even the ones that were eating five meals that were never cheating, you know, I just couldn't. I'm like, no, you're cheating. Like, you're doing something you're not telling me. It didn't dawn on me that, hey, they're eating the five meals, but they're just probably right at that red line as opposed to going below it. They're eating exactly what they need. So let's maybe cut them down to four meals and kind of see what happens or something like that. Like that type of process just didn't click in. I just felt like, okay, they're just not telling me the truth and whatever. You're not going to tell me the truth. I can't work with you.
Right. which is tough on them because if they're actually following your advice and they're not getting you anywhere, we're like, well, one of the two of us is doing something wrong here. And most times the fitness expert's not going to think it's them.
Can't be me. Yeah.
No, of course not, because you're the expert. So, all right. So we've been going for a while here. Let's wrap this up with your final thoughts, ahas, advice. So besides the contest, you've lost 50 pounds in the last 5 or 6 months. So you've gone a long way. So, most important takeaway message that you want to give to everybody.
I guess the most important message I would give to everybody is follow the workouts the way they laid it out, forget trying to dissect them, forget doing what I did, trying to figure out a whole bunch of stuff. When you start working out, just listen to your body. If you're feeling anything in your body, you know what I'm saying, first thing, I mean, like I did was reduce volume, you know, talk to John and them guys, they can kind of help you through that. Don't predict things that are going to happen before they happen. Actually wait until you start seeing something or feeling something happen, but just make sure that you let somebody know early enough. Don't try to be a superhero and try to push through things and say, hey, you know, just kind of the cost of just doing the workouts. Like, no, there's a difference between, you know, working out smart and hard versus working out stupid. And then just find a way to eat less. Follow the diet. If you like AGD, you know, you kind of eat whatever you want and just eat a little bit less of that. You know, if you're into the five meals and you can eat less during that, it doesn't really matter. All those things work once you find a way to eat less. And then you just can't quit. You just got to keep going and just got to understand that, you know, as a guy, when you begin losing weight and you begin coming down, that you're going to get to a point where you're going to feel small. And you just got to keep going through that. And once you keep going through that, what ends up happening is that it actually just splits back. And then all of a sudden, you no longer look small. You actually start looking bigger, and which is really weird. And that was probably the toughest thing for myself to kind of really understand that. But it's going to happen. You just keep going when you look small, and then all of a sudden you'll just start looking bigger again as you get leaner, and you know, all your hard work and your muscles and everything will begin to show, and you know, and then you'll be there. You know what I mean? You'll be at the Adonis in no time.
All right, that's better than I could say it, so I think we'll just leave it there.
Awesome.
All right, thanks for being on the call, Blair, and congratulations on the progress you've made. So
all right,
Blair Baxter, I'm John Barber, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.